guys. So I just wanted to share some stuff that we're doing just back in Children's Church, just to communicate with you guys. I think that's an area that we want to do better in, just so that you guys can kind of get an idea and get a hold of our vision back there too. So I'm Trey. My wife and I are the children's pastors back there for kindergarten through fifth. And so this coming, throughout the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a series with the kids called Level Up. And so what we did is we brought Nintendo Switch and some other games back there, and we're going to be talking about leveling up our relationship with Christ. So whether that be, you know, what does it look like to be a Christian, and what kind of actions takes place there? Because we've been talking about faith the past 6 weeks, I believe. We talked about faith and that it's believing without seeing. So what we did is we had some laser guns back there, and we talked about how you can't see the laser guns, but you know they're there. And when you shoot that gun, you know that it's going to hit something. And so we compared that to our faith. And so that's what we're going to be teaching on for the next 4 weeks. And then just kind of an idea for what our vision is we want to build a firm foundation for these kids. So our main goal is to get them excited about the Bible, get them excited about faith, get them excited so that when they do come through and they grow up and whether they get to R3 or become older and they go through even bigger hardships, that they have that foundation, right? So they don't waver from that. Okay. And then that's pretty much it. If you guys ever have any questions or anything, feel free to come back there. If you want to check it out, so come say hi to us. And if you have any gifts or you feel led to, please come talk to Christine and I, and we'd love to get you involved if you want to help out, whether that be in the nursery, whether that be helping us. We want to train some people to basically be able to speak into these kids' lives, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I have teachers that I remember from when I was in kindergarten. And so that foundation is so important, and we just wanted to be able to invite you guys to either come help out or just to kind of share in that vision that we have for these kids, because I know a lot of you guys have kids in there. But those of you that don't, I want to make sure that you also are involved in that and that you know what's going on. So yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you guys.
I'm believing this will be my last week sitting at this table. But it feels good. Let's get started with the message. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we just welcome you in this place. Father, our hearts are open, our hearts are tilled and ready for the seed to be sown in our hearts, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the third week on ask, seek, and knock. We already had talked about ask. We talked about seek. Make sure we're not trying to seek other things other than God and putting that before him. And then knock. Matthew 7. Hopefully, if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 7 with us. I'll be reading out a New King James Version. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father, who is in heaven, will give good things to those who ask him? And that word ask, just basically, I mean, that word knock, means to knock. It means to rap or to knock at the door. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be what? Partially opened? It'll be swung open for you. Jesus says to believers, ask, to seek, and to knock. And in return, they will receive what they ask for. They will find out what they're looking for. And the door will be open when they have knocked. The thing is, you have to knock. All because of that real relationship with Jesus, he responds in faithfulness and generosity. That's how God is. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus puts a responsibility on whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks. It's themselves in prayer. You have to do it. No one else can do that for you. You have to do it. The responsibility is on you. See, when you ask, he isn't going to give it to someone else. When you seek, he isn't going to reveal himself to anyone else but the one who sought him. When you knock, that door won't be open for anyone else. It'll be open for you. So you have to do this in prayer. God is faithful and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Everything we need has already been given to us through the atonement of Jesus. Everything. And how we access those things is through prayer, asking, believing, and receiving. And Matthew 21 says this, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Jesus will honor his words. He will honor them. And you can take that to the bank. He's not going to mislead you in any way. There's one person you can trust is him. No one is saying that while you're waiting for it to manifest, you won't go through any heartache or trouble. Because that's going to happen. There's going to be some struggle. As soon as you get that prayer out or what have you, the enemy's going to do everything he can in order to try to trip you up, try to stop you from receiving, get you into the place of doubt and unbelief. But you got to stand firm. You got to stand firm. Sometimes people may have a little misunderstanding about me, and maybe I don't clear it or speak it out with clarity. They don't think I like criticism. I don't have a problem with criticism. I've been criticized all my life. I don't have a problem with that. It comes with the skin color. No, it's funny. Just kidding. That's a bad joke. I don't like bullies. I don't like a critical spirit in a person. The enemy is a bully. Satan is a bully. They use fear and intimidation. That's their choice of weapon. I don't like bullies. And when bullies try to do certain things, they're going to realize I kind of give them the rope-a-dope because I'm pretty much laid back. And so when they cross over boundaries, they're going to realize there really was a no trespassing sign on that. There was one time, just when I was younger, growing up, I was like up until my junior year, playing hoops, I let my game do the talking. Everybody else would be talking mess. I let my game do the talking. And then one day going into my senior year, the summer going into my senior year, there was a guy who already had graduated college and was out there playing ball. I had gotten there late. I had to do some chores on a Saturday. And then he's out there. So I show up and the game's already started. And in every single possession, he's calling a foul. So he'll call a foul until he actually scored. And that game took forever. Everybody was frustrated. And it was like, all right. So I picked up my five and they ended up winning. I picked up my five and we start playing. And then he started doing it again. I said, hey, yo, switch with me. I wouldn't guard him. And as soon as he did that, a little ticky-tack foul or something, I went off on him. And everybody was like, it was almost like the Christmas story when Ralphie hit the lug nuts. Everybody was like, that came out of you? And I went off on him, and every single time he tried to call, I contested, I came against it. Because all he was doing out there was trying to bully everyone in order to get his way. I wasn't having it. Well, needless to say, my team won and kept on winning that day, and he never came back. And the thing about it is that the enemy is the bully. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be sober. This is an amplified version. Well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, and immovable, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. Resist basically means to stand against. You can't allow the enemy to just do whatever it is he wants to do to you. You have to stand firm in your faith. The faith as God has given you. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Jesus didn't give you some knockoff version of faith. He gave you mountain moving faith. He gave you the real thing. He gave you unstoppable faith, immovable faith, impenetrable faith. It's the real thing. It's the same faith he used while he was here on this earth. I had the opportunity. There was maybe 14, 15 years ago. I went to, it could have been longer than that, but I went to a conference out in Nebraska. And there was a man that was speaking there, Jim Hockaday. And Jim Hockaday was talking about a story about a man who basically, I mean, he watched the PGA Tour instead of, he was supposed to speak that night, and he ended up not studying. He ended up watching the PGA Tour and all that other stuff, and then decided to go to church afterwards and stuff like that. So, and then, and when while he's on stage, Jesus appeared to him and it says, "You tell him everything I did here on earth, I did as a man." And I remember him using that story. It wasn't his story, but it was his friend's story. And I had the opportunity to meet this guy, last year, I believe, at the camp meeting in Rhema. And he was talking about, not Rhema, but, Light of the World. And so we're sitting there eating lunch and he's telling me this story. And I was like, "That was you?" He goes, "Yeah, that was," I said, "Jim Hockaday told that story at so-and-so's church and stuff like that." I was like, "Man, I've been," cause I used that story in our youth room, you know, at R3 and stuff. I was like, "Man, that's unreal." But everything that Jesus did here on earth, he did as a man with the Holy Spirit in him. That's the same as you. Some may think they're doing God's work by being a bully. You're really not. See, if you have Jesus, the religious leaders, you have Judas. Out of those three, who was the one that was trying to portray the bullying? Religious leaders. They were plotting. They were trying to catch him in his slip of a tongue. They were trying to test him. They were trying to do all these other things in order to get their way with him. The enemy walks around like a lion seeking someone to devour. And he can't just devour anyone. So even if you are giving him the rope-a-dope, you still have authority over him. So my question is to you. Do you want to act like Jesus? Or do you act like the religious leader? Or like Judas? See, my purpose is to help you to walk more and more like Jesus every single day. So if we got to get the Judas out of you, we got to get the religious leader out of you, we're going to do that through the Word of God. Because I want to be more and more like Jesus every single day. There was a time when I was walking. I went out to California and I helped my dad do some barbecue. And I went down to the Dollar Tree store. I probably shared this story before, but I was getting some water. And the water was up front, and I went and got some hand sanitizer, got back up to the front. There was this young little girl that was there. She didn't have enough money. She needed, it was $2.75 or something like that, or $2.25 or something. And this young lady, she was maybe 8 years old, only had about $2. And so I hear there's two other people in line with me. The cashier is saying, "You don't have enough money." And I'm serious. And I'm thinking, surely someone has that change on them. So to speed up the process, I went and paid for the five, gave her her money back, the $2 that she gave, and then I ended up giving her the change that she, that I had gotten from my five. And everybody was like, oh man, that was really great. I said, honestly, I was just doing that just to speed up the line. I'm trying to get out of here. And so she walks out. She's trying to explain to her grandmother who was standing outside, like, she's got more money. She's got her gift. What happened? And I walk by and she points at me and they were telling me gracias and all that stuff. And I was like, de nada, de nada. And as I start walking, the Lord, and it's just like the heavens open up. I said, I get it, God. It's not just for me. It's to help other people. So as I continue to walk, there was a guy in a wheelchair with some money. I mean, with a can. And he's wanting some money. And so I give him $5. And I'm thinking for the heavens to open up again. I said, but that's, here's the thing. He may have been wanting money, but what he was needing was healing. And I missed it. But see, during that season, I was praying, Lord, help me to become more like you. You don't realize when you're reading the gospel, there's from place to place, Jesus was just being, I mean, he was being crowded. He was doing miracles. He was teaching. It was just nonstop with them. And I experienced that for about 30 minutes. And it was nonstop. I said, okay, I need some work in this. This is about 10 plus years ago. We want to be like Jesus. One of the things is that Jesus says, I can only do what I see my Father do. And I can only say what I hear my Father say. Jesus went preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing people, destroying the works of the devil. See, when you're working around the clock, if the enemy is working around the clock in order to trip you up, you got to understand that's not the work of God. Our responsibility is to walk in love, love God, and love people. Doesn't mean that you can't correct. Doesn't mean you can't criticize. Doesn't mean you can't do that. Rebuke means to sharp. I mean, if you look in the dictionary, it means to sharply criticize. That's a good thing. But there's a difference when you do it with a critical spirit. I don't want to spend my time trying to be critical with everything and always trying to be right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I can accept that. I want to impact lives so we don't get caught up playing little mind games behind the scenes with the enemy. John Milton said this, the mind is its own place. It can make a heaven out of hell or a hell out of heaven. So our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God in this church, in this body. It's to advance the kingdom of God. Quit playing all these silly little games behind the scenes in order to help the enemy destroy God's children. You are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. If you're going to stir up trouble, I'm going to just let you know. You're going to lose. God has never lost the battle. You're going to lose. I'll pray for you. I'll love you from a distance or what have you. I said, but you're going to lose. You should not be plotting hearts to come against God's children at all. I'm going to just let you know. I said, well, I didn't know that. You do now. God bless you. You do now. Bullies are basically broken themselves. They're coming from a broken household. So I can empathize with that, but you don't allow them to cross your boundaries either. They are hurting deeply inside because of some trauma earlier in their life, and they've never been fully healed. So they act as if they're tough, but they're really not. So you have to stand firm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We're not raising up fake believers, just trying to be tough. We are because he is. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You're the righteous, not the wicked. As your identity, you're the righteousness of God. You're not the wicked. I'm going to say that again. You are the righteousness of God. It's not your righteousness, it's his. You're not the wicked. You don't have to do what the wicked do. We don't have to do what the wicked do. None of that fake stuff. This ain't the Truman Show. Anybody watch the Truman Show? Yeah, one person that was dictating everything. Everybody got their lines to say what they need to say. Do what they need to do. Extract information from that one person. And he's over there pulling the strings like he's the puppet master. We give our lives to Jesus. We don't go off of what one person says. We go off of what he says. So you're going to have to be bold and learn to say, learn the vocabulary. Put this in your lexicon. No, thank you. No, thank you. If someone is trying to have you do something that is immoral, say no, thank you. Simple as that. If somebody was caught in a sexual sin and was trying to get you, hey, why don't you come over back to my place? And no, not doing that. And it would be the same way with a lie. It'd be the same way with gossip. You know, gossip destroys more things than anything else. Let me ask y'all an honest question. What gets spread faster, a lie or the truth? Why is that? It's because our flesh want to hear some juicy gossip, some news. But the truth does not ever get spread a whole lot quicker than a lie does. It's like wildfire. I want you to experience God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his power, and his anointing in your everyday lives for yourselves. I'm not trying to play God, and I'm not trying to play the devil. So here's our vision for Westview Church. Dean, you can put this on the website afterwards and stuff like that too. Westview Church, it's our statement here. We're connecting real people, not fake. We're connecting real people into real relationships while serving the real one, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And those relationships can deal with family in every which way, because we're going to keep it real. We're going to make allowances for each other's faults. That's okay. People need a place to where they can, man, I put over 300 hours studying out Jezebel and all that other stuff, manipulation. I said, part of it is that when you're doing groups and everything else, you got to understand when people are operating in that spirit, they're looking for people who are hurting to create some type of a soul tie. So their intentions are never pure. So you got to pray these things out. You got to seek God and his wisdom, because some people are just looking to be able to attach themselves to others in order to create more supply. The Bible would call them eunuchs. In the world, they call it flying monkeys. I call them flunkies. Flonkeys. And all they're doing is going around stirring up drama, trouble in every which way. That's not what I want for you. John 14 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Keyword, you got to believe in him in order to do the works that he's done And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Another promise, man. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think a couple weeks ago, after church, it was Wesley, or Seth had told us what Wesley and TJ used to do back in the day, is where two or more are gathered together in his name. He is, anything that they ask for, it will be given to them by my Father in heaven. Two or three agree concerning anything. And so whenever they want to spend a night, want TJ to come spend a night, they would gather up, excuse me, they would get as many people as they can and pray so that TJ would be able to come and spend a night. And they, well, did it work? He said, yeah, every time. Well, God is good. That's pretty good, though. We're two or more. See, it's already ours. And we need to add our faith that God has freely given us, that he has given us. And we have to try to avoid trying to take what doesn't belong to us. There's I'm going to have to confess this, a show that I watched. It was called The Worst Roommates Ever. I'll never watch that show again. That is weird. There's some crazy people out there. And one of them, a guy, he was basically a serial squatter. Anybody know what a squat? I mean, he would go to these places, pay the first month's rent, and just be the worst roommate ever. Like, he wouldn't pay anymore. They couldn't get him to leave. I mean, he was being, I mean, sometimes abusive. He'd go through people's stuff, all that. I mean, just, and they couldn't get him out. And the reason, they couldn't do anything. And he knew all the legal stuff in order to stay there. You couldn't change the locks on them, couldn't do these. I said they ended up squatting over something. And eventually, the tenant who was, name was on a lease, had to leave. Ruined their life. And sometimes people can become a squatter on something that God never gave them. See, I know I can call it quits when I know deep inside the Lord is saying, okay, it's time to move on. I didn't get the coach. I didn't coach TJ's last 2 years because I felt that the Lord was really leading me to move on. And so Isaiah, I was honestly, and part of that, I was like, okay, I was going to watch him play. And then he's like, well, I'm going to hang him up. I was like, all right. And then he ended up taking my job. So which is cool. I didn't mind that. But I knew the Lord was saying, hey, time to hang it up. I wasn't going to stay there and try to squat over something that he hasn't given me, or he's saying, hey, this is done. This window's closed now. And a lot of people try to squat on stuff that Jesus never said. They'll get there, open up the door. Okay, I can overtake this person here. And they end up running them out and become a squatter over something that God never gave them. His blessing's not with them. The anointing's not with them or what have you. And they end up squatting over something that clearly isn't theirs. It says, knock and it will be open to you. Matthew 21:33 says, hear another parable. This is a parable of the vineyard. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to his vine dressers, basically farmers, and went into a far country. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive his fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owners of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Jesus asking some of the religious leaders there. They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. Jesus said to him, have you never read the scriptures? Read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on his stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Now we understand that story is about Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. And the prophets of old was basically killed by the Israelites. Stephen talks about it in the book of Acts as well. But when he sent his servants that they might receive his fruit, one was beaten, another one was killed, and they stoned another. These men basically became squatters on something that they never really was theirs. And when the sun came, they ended up killing them, thinking that they were going to take that inheritance. See, when we knock, we're not, I mean, a door may close for someone else, but we're coming in legally. And when we're coming in legally, I mean, legally, God is backing that up. Listen, the blessing and the favor of God by faith will get you what God wants for you to have. When you have to lie, you have to manipulate, you gotta steal, you gotta cheat, you gotta slander, you gotta sow discord, you gotta unrighteously control people, you gotta try to dominate them, intimidate them in every way, you gotta try to bully. All those things will only get you what you want to have. What God wants for you to have is so much better than what you want for yourself. And it's not going to get you into trouble, because he'll back up what he says. So when we legally walk through a door by knocking through prayer and it's opened, you got his backing. You got his blessing. But when you try to do it for yourself, there's going to be a whole lot of consequences. When I was 14 years old, I shoplifted. I tell you what, I went to Target, got a little arrogant, had stole something, just to steal, just to prove that I can do it. And then was a little arrogant, left and went back again the same day. So I was walking out and I was grabbing my skateboard. A few gentlemen came and, hey, what you doing? Oh, I'm leaving. Whose skateboard is that? Oh, that's mine. Why don't you come with us? Sat me down in the office, pulled up the camera, the video, and I looked right at the camera, being prideful. And they called the cops. Cops tell me, you got your dad at home, parents at home? I said, no, they're working right now. I said, I got an older brother. He's 18. I said, all right. So they take me over to the park where I played. Got me out of the car. I'm in handcuffs. Everybody that I played hoops with, all my friends were out there. And I see my older brother, Jinger. He bounced the ball real hard. It's like, said he walked over. And I'm just the walk of shame, man. Just. And I'll tell you what. I'm thankful for my dad, because that was one of the worst weapons of my life. Never did it again. But see, I was trying to obtain something illegally. It wasn't mine. If I would have just asked, and he told me that, and it was, I think it was like a wallet or something, or a chain necklace. I don't wear necklaces. Just showing off. But he said, I would have bought it for you. You didn't have to do that. Good talk, Dad. No, no, wait. There's more to it. Good talk, Dad. No, that wasn't it. See, when we're doing what God wants us to do, he's not going to lead us into temptation. He's not going to lead us into trouble. We do it the right way. We do it with honor. We do it in character. We do it in integrity. Here's the thing. You may not do that flawlessly, but the thing is, when you do, there's just a sense of refreshing in, I don't have the word for that, but you just know that you did it right. When I win, I know that I like to win because I did it right. Ain't nothing coming back to bite me. You're being disqualified because you cheated in a race. You took a taxi for 3 miles running a marathon. That's not going to work for you. So when we do something, we do it right. We do it with the right heart. We ask God, we seek him, and we knock. And he says the door will be opened when we ask according to his word, his will. And since Jesus is the heir, we're joint heirs. So we ain't got to steal that from anyone. Reminded of Joseph. The Bible talks about the blessing was on him. The favor of God was with him. When it came to Potiphar's wife, he could have hit that. But he chose not to. He chose to do the right thing because he says, I can't sin against God. Well, he got thrown in jail for it, to doing the right thing. But you know what? God was still with him. The favor was still with him. And he ended up being the second most powerful ruler in all of Egypt. Because he did it the right way. Sometimes we like to speed up the process a little bit. You can't do it. It's got to be in his timing. There's doors that might have to be shut that you don't even know of in order for yours to open up. So we got to be patient with stuff rather than just trying to pick the lock. And then we got to attach this grandiose story along with it to make it look like God did it when he really didn't. Because God never needs you to lie in order for you to receive what he has for you. If God says no, what do you do? You trust him. I believe this is the right thing. When parents tell their kids no, well, why not? Well, because I said so. But you got to trust me in this. I know what kids are. I mean, you talk about, I don't know about you, but when you see some of the kids act up, your children's friends and stuff, their classmates, and it'll be like, okay, you see them running around or talking to their parents, mouthing off, and it's like, yeah, you ain't hanging out with them. And then they end up hanging out with them sometimes, and then they come home with an attitude. You know exactly where it came from. You've been hanging out with so-and-so. No, I haven't. Yes, you did. I said, why? Because you're trying me right now. You know that. I said, God knows that. And sometimes I know that through other people. I said, I know when you've been hanging with so-and-so. Because it sounds just like them. Or her. Let God lead you. One common scripture that has been said throughout our Wednesday nights that we have is this, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let God lead you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you that we can ask, we can seek, and we can knock. And your word says it will be open to us when we ask according to your will. That is a promise, Lord, that you have given us. And we thank you for that. And right now, Lord, we know that you are a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You stand knocking at the door of our heart. And if there's anyone here that has never, ever given their life to Christ, and they want to do that today, just raise your hand real quick, and we'll say a prayer with you. Lord, your word also says that how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And we know that the Holy Spirit is there. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want the Holy Spirit in you right now, you can ask him. Lord, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to receive communion before you leave. Your children are here, and they're going to take communion with you before you go. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I'll take them. Yeah. And then you can go ahead and pass it around. And just hold your peace when you get there, the cracker, your bread. Some people might be thinking something different. God bless you. See, discerning the Lord's body, ask the Lord, are there others that is in your kingdom that I have trouble forgiving? And if he shows you, forgive them or otherwise don't eat or drink from this cup. If you have a hard time forgiving this person, don't take this communion. Because you're going to end up drinking judgment upon yourself. Because when you take this bread and drink in your heart, all matters should be resolved. In Isaiah 53:4-5, Jesus' sacrifice covered every area of our lives. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. He bore our sins, our fear, and any physical or mental pain that we went through, that we may go through. Our sickness and disease was carried so that he wouldn't have to. We wouldn't have to. We are healed by his stripes because of what he has done for us on the cross. So when we take communion, let us each examine our own selves. Not our neighbor. Examine yourself. You know in your heart what you are going through right now. Concerning the body, if you are sick in your body, remember Jesus bore it so that you wouldn't have to. There is no sickness or disease in this world that has a legal right to be in your body after we partake of this body and blood of Jesus. So recognize that it is from Satan and reject it. So when you eat this bread, you fully accept what Jesus has done for you through his body and bloodshed. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take, eat the body of Christ. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So when you get your cup, go ahead and take it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.